This conference is being recorded.
All right, so we have a, I think, pretty short call today, unless anybody has anything to add. We have me, Kai, Dan, and Aaron should be calling in a minute. So Bill and Andrew are in New York City at a meeting, and I just got an email from Steve Bayless, who isn't going to be able to make the call today, unfortunately. So I put a couple of the items that were going on this last week on the agenda. And the first one is the class loader leak issue that, Kai, you have been looking into.
Yes.
And you actually did update the bug tracker with that, but just maybe you can give a brief summary for us.
Yeah, sure. So the issue is that there's a class loader leak preventing Tomcat from unloading all class loaders, especially the Fedora class loader on undeploy. So that means that the Fedora class loader stays in the class, stays in PermGen, and on if you redeploy Fedora, the PermGen keeps on growing, so eventually leading to an out of memory error. And the reason for that are multiple class loader leaks. That's classes that are basically loaded by at least two class loaders, or not loaded, but referenced. So if one class loader could be discarded by the garbage collector, another class loader holds on to a class and therefore prevents the prevents the garbage collection from this class loader. So, and what I found out is that there are multiple class loader leaks. One caused by Xerxes, another one by Axis, and the third one by Derby. And I was eventually able to remove all leaks and get Fedora to a state where it cleanly removes all resources from the PermGen. So there were no traces left when Fedora was undeployed. But
that's cool. So that's a big step, right? I mean, now
yeah, sure, but it was quite
zeroed it down.
Painful.
Yeah.
Because some things of it I still don't understand really, but those three points I outlined on the comment are the most important ones.
So is there additional Fedora code that needs to be patched? If these three were done, would that completely solve the issue? If Xerxes, Axis, and Derby were dealt with?
There is one additional class. It's a servlet, servlet context listener that's shutting down Log4j, Apache Commons logging. I had to test it once the leak was gone without this servlet listener, context listener. So I still have to do this. Maybe we can get by without it, but I'm not sure yet. So the context listener unloads JDBC drivers and stuff like that. So it deals with a usual suspect. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if it's essential. So it's just a starting point.
So I guess the question right now is, what can we do about these three libraries, Xerxes, Axis, and Derby, for the future. So Xerxes, I don't think we're using it for anything special. As far as I know, the fact that it's in our lib directory is an artifact of old versions of Fedora that did require it, but now that it's included with the JRE, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I guess there's one way to find out. So I think if we were able to do a test without including that jar, then it seems like we could just drop it.
Yeah, I didn't. I've tried it, but I haven't tried. I haven't tried the full functionality, but just a minor subset. And as far as I could see, there wasn't a problem without Xerxes. So I'm not sure what the difference is between the one bundled with the JDK and the one we're using. It's a bit newer, but I haven't checked what exactly the feature set that's missing.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see. It seems like we must have put that in after it was included with the JDK or the JRE, but that may have been before Fedora was moved to be only compatible with Java 1.5, I think it was, when that started happening. But I guess, I mean, the only thing I can think of is vendor-specific functionality, and the only kind of vendor-specific functionality I can think of there is a document formatter class inside Xerxes, and I don't know that that would have changed between those versions, but I think that's the only place where code ever depended on Xerxes being the actual implementation of the XML parser. And the only place where I think that was done was in the old Fedora admin GUI, in when it would try to pretty print the XML in the widget, in the text widget, when you could edit it. But I'm not sure it's even doing that anymore. So I think chances are pretty good that we could get rid of Xerxes and not have any trouble at all. So I would favor testing that and dropping it. The other two, I think Axis is probably the more difficult one, because we've actually had some discussions in the past about moving away from Axis, and let me see if I can find the issue in the tracker. Let's see. Yeah, 452. So the 1.x line of Axis is no longer maintained. I'll go ahead and paste the URL to that. So last we left this particular issue, CXF looked like a pretty good candidate for switching web service libraries. I'm just thinking if we were to temporarily patch the version of Axis that we use, that would only get us so far. I mean, once somebody gets to this next issue of actually moving away from Axis altogether, I think it could be kind of pointless to do to patch it in Axis unless somebody's really, you know, having a serious problem. And I don't get the impression that this is something that people can't really get by without the fix right away. So I guess for Axis, my thought would be maybe we should go ahead and, before closing this out, this issue out fully, go ahead and dig into CXF, or essentially replace Axis with something else. I'm kind of wondering if this issue will pop up again in CXF, though. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Kai?
I don't know. Well, class loader leaks are more common than I thought, so maybe. But I have to see that. I have to check that.
Yeah. Well, I think somebody had put together a guide of migrating from Axis to CXF. A while ago, but I think Eddie looked into this a little deeper than that was some time ago. But I think it may be worth looking into again.
Yeah, but it wasn't absolutely there's no unanimity in the world right now about whether to use CXF or Access 2.
No. I can't remember why we were why we didn't dig further into Access 2 specifically as a potential future option. But I remember this was all motivated by SOAP with attachments when we talked about it a while back. In fact, that might be listed as a dependency of the of FC Repo 452. Yeah. So FC Repo 102 depends on the fact that we upgrade to another SOAP library anyway. So I mean, in terms of Axis, I guess considering the how much this issue is affecting people, I mean, I get the sense that it's an annoyance, but isn't the kind of thing that, you know, getting a patch out right away is really absolutely necessary for. So, I mean, given the priority, it seems like our efforts would be best spent on, rather than patching Axis, going ahead and migrating to another web service library, and maybe it turns out it's Apache 2, or excuse me, Axis 2. While we're here, I'm going to go ahead and add a comment to this. On FC Repo 452, I just want to add the comment about considering Axis 2 as well. Um, The other issue was Derby. So, Kai, you had found that Derby had some class loader leaks, and
yeah, that's what I suspect. It's really an elusive one because it pops up at different locations, and I wasn't able to find anything in the Derby bug tracker. But nonetheless, I clearly identified two or more classes that hold on to make the class loader hold on. So I didn't go much further into this. Instead, I just removed Derby and substituted it with a Postgres. Then it worked. Maybe I'm going to dig into this a little bit more.
Well, I just found this, which was from about a year ago on the Derby list. I'll paste it to the IRC, but just searching for Derby and class loader leak. I don't know if you had run across that. My general feeling about Derby having class loader leaks is that it's okay, given the fact that we don't really recommend using Derby in a production environment anyway. It's okay if it's not, doesn't really have this dealt with. I mean, obviously, I think if the Derby folks did a new version of Derby that fixed it, that would be certainly worth upgrading our out-of-box database to do, to use that one. As you mentioned, just moving to Postgres or fix the issue. So at least in our configuration of Derby, which I think is pretty out-of-box, straightforward, that kind of shows that there's a problem with Derby. I can't think. It doesn't seem that would be caused by anything other than Derby. If you were able to get it to go away when taking Derby out.
I even checked the shutdown of Derby and. It turns out we properly shut it down. So, the only thing I'm wondering about is that it hasn't shown up anywhere. That leak.
You said you wonder about what?
I'm wondering about that. The class loader leak, it hasn't shown up in some tracker or some mailing list, or I couldn't find anything.
Well, this one, long running thread. Well, the specific issue is here, but I. Oh, Kai, you're not in the Duraspace channel.
That's the repo. Okay. I'm joining.
Paste it in there, but more specifically, it's Derby 3745, which is somehow related, but I haven't even looked at it. I just kind of turned that up and... it says closed as of 10.3.3.1 or 10.4.2.0, 10.5.1.1. Do you happen to know version we're running?
Yeah, I know these from the report description. I can tell these classes are the ones that surfaced in the profiler.
Oh, okay. So maybe we can just go ahead and put a link. I can just add a link right now to our tracker on that. I'll just add a comment. So I'm just trying to think of how we could eventually close this issue. I mean, this is a tough one because it's things that we don't necessarily have control over. But we still kind of want to keep an eye on because there may be mitigations we can employ. I'm not a real fan of patching Axis, an old version of Axis. And I think that, given that that's, you know, one of the causes of this issue, it seems like drawing a dependency between this and the move away from Axis 1.3 issue would be the right thing. Kai, do you get a sense with the urgency on this issue if, like, I mean, in your environment or anybody else's, if patching Axis would be worth it?
Well, from what I've experienced, I think it's not that a big of an issue for production systems, so I don't know. I think it's only important if you're frequently deploying and undeploying. Otherwise, it won't show up anywhere.
Yeah. Well, then let's do that. I mean, this can be still dealt with in terms of the Xerxes thing. I mean, basically, Xerxes and Derby, we can probably resolve. Xerxes can probably be resolved by just dropping the library. Derby can probably be resolved by removing it from the equation. In other words, you know, we have the link to the issue, but just saying, you know, this isn't really part of the a production Fedora, so we recommend against using it for this reason as well until that issue is resolved, you know. And then on Axis, just draw the dependency here, which I could do now. This issue depends on FC repo 452, and go ahead and save that. So to resolve the other two pieces, I'm just going to add a note here. Kai, will you be able to look into just testing the Xerxes piece a little bit more, because I'd be fine with dropping that. I'd be very happy to, actually.
Yeah, sure. All right. I'll do that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just added a comment on that. And if Kai, if you're able to show that that works or prove it to yourself, I'd be certainly support going ahead and committing the removal of that to trunk. Just if you want to, in your comment, just reference FC repo 496 so we get the linkage.
Okay.
Should we move on to the next one? So rels int, that's FC repo 441. So on this one, we had quite a bit of discussion on the mailing list, which was good. And in as that discussion was going on, I kept thinking, so this is a really good way to provoke some discussion around some of these issues. But the question of, you know, getting forward progress on Rails int, I started to think, well, maybe we need to go ahead and commit this to trunk, because the discussion kind of centered around disseminators in Fedora and how this, I think Asger pointed out that this kind of causes a little different thinking about how Fedora works and thinking about data streams as things that have identity that can be talked about. And I think it does reveal that fact more apparently, but data streams have had ways to assert information about them in the past, so it doesn't change that fact. It makes it possible to extensively create new statements about data streams. So it doesn't actually fundamentally change Fedora, but it does provoke some interesting issues which need some further discussion, I think. But in terms of Rails int, Andrew, Bill, and myself reviewed the code that Steve had put in the branch, and we were all happy with the code. And I went ahead and ran the automated tests and did some sanity checks on the functionality, and it works as designed. So it allows you to create statements about data streams. But in the discussion on the mailing list, the thing that came to my mind was something important for us to resolve was what the URI of a data stream really is, because I think pretty much everybody assumes that info:fedora/pid/datastreamid identifies a data stream. Seems like the natural assumption. But the documentation, the official statement is that this identifies a data stream dissemination. So I put on the list a few options, and I think, Dan, you had also added another one, right, in your response to that, number four.
Yeah, then in some ways I think you're taking number four, which is don't sweat it right now, and we need to continue the discussions that go with the code we've got.
Let's see. I'm looking here. Leave data stream dissemination ambiguous until the service dissemination implementation is more complete, and be careful in using data stream dissemination URIs in Rails int. Um, use them in RailsInt as if you only had unambiguous number 2 semantics. Later move the current data stream disseminators to comply with unambiguous semantics. I'm not sure that's... I mean, I was advocating number 2, which was basically to go ahead and bite the bullet on treating those URIs as data stream URIs and being silent about what we would recommend people use or don't use.
Yeah. So do you mean that the data stream URI points to the data stream container or the content of the data stream?
The data stream container.
No sweat. That yeah. Completely agree with.
So it's, I mean, it identifies, well, what's the use of RailsInt if you are versioning data streams? When we've discussed this in the past, it's been, okay, so you want to make a statement about a particular data stream, but that may be a statement about a particular revision of that data stream, but we don't have a way to really, well, in the info URI space, we don't have a way to identify a specific version of a data stream. So really you are referring, you know, if you look at it, I think from a practical perspective, people will be making statements, if they are about the content, they'll be making statements about the latest revision of that content. In other words, if somebody revises a thumbnail and turns it into, you know, changes the pixel dimensions or something, well, they may also then want to revise the RailsInt that makes some statement about the dimensions of that thing. So it's a hook for being able to make those statements, but it's not necessarily tied to a specific version. I think the assumptions applications would make if those statements are about the content would be that it's about the latest revision of that content, or at least the revision of the content that coincides with the revision of RailsInt.
I've got some concerns about the stability, but you're still making statements. You're making statements about the content. You're not actually trying to disseminate the content. So you're essentially making statements about things which are in the data stream as a container. You're making statements about content, about actual streams. I think that's relatively safe. RailsInt should be doing is making statements about the content. Even if the current deployment of the data stream is not perfect and needs to evolve, I don't really think this is bad.
Yeah. Well, I think it does highlight some of those issues. Like, I mean, you brought up about versioning and how, like, you would advocate for actually removing versioning from the digital object itself and maybe moving towards a model where, and I think this is actually more consistent with what the eSciDoc project did, which was kind of doing versioning via relationships rather than relying on the digital object structure, like in Foxmal, to take care of that. So you could, you know, do it in a more flexible way, basically.
Yeah, so you could do that in a first-class way, but also RelSense could do it, in that if you have the circumstance that I brought up was relatively complicated managed data streams, that you go from through a format migration, and you have a circumstance where it takes five managed streams to represent a CAD model, and then you go through a format migration, now it takes one.
Uh-huh.
But they are versions of each other. And that's easily represented in RDF and could be put into RELS INT to say that's how those probably individual data streams relate to each other.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I want to be careful about the use of the term version here, because in Fedora speak, data stream version is a specific time-bound thing. And it's the concept of revising a piece of content so that the current version, has some different manifestation. When you use the term version here, you're actually talking about that the structure has changed in a way that isn't just isn't just describable in terms of a change in a blob. It's changed in maybe a way that it's an aggregate of various data streams and how they're structured to, in the end, fulfill whatever requirements were fulfilled before via disseminators or what have you. But the concept of versioning as currently defined in Foxmal is much, much simpler than that. But I guess what you're getting at here is that the structure of versions here can potentially be more complicated. But there's something I'm missing here, which is the time-boundedness of revisions of a thing. It may be perfectly reasonable to have multiple revisions of a thing that have absolutely nothing to do with, that it changed over time. In traditional simple versioning systems, you have, consider Subversion, just in Trunk. You have the ability to just make a revision to something, and that's the latest version, and it's just a linear thing with a single file.
Yeah, with a very, very important simplifying assumption. All of those systems assume that the format does not change. And a lot of use cases for Fedora, the format is likely to change. So they can get away with that because it's always managed content, and the format always stays the same in their versionings.
Mm-hmm.
So because of those two simplifying assumptions, yeah, everything works out. In Fedora, we want to be able to represent much more complicated things. And that includes externally referenced content and dynamic content, which then make what the blob is a very complicated thing with respect to what people think of it in the outside world.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking about, so how do we, in the end, I mean, okay, just taking RELS in and putting it aside for a second. I mean, it feeds into this, but, in just talking about versioning and being able to support more complex notions of versionings, moving out of, having the Foxmole be the version-defining thing, I could see it going either way, because if you have a simple capability, you can certainly use that to good effect, and it's been shown in many systems that just define versioning as a simple thing, which is a file gets revised from one iteration to the next. What I'm wondering about is, this tension between providing the ability to do something in the most accurate way, and typically by that means more complicated way, or being able to do the simple stuff in a simple way. So what I'd kind of wondering about is, for many use cases, it's actually enough to support the notion of just having, iterations of a piece of content that just, changes through time. And so how do you keep those common use cases easy while still supporting the maybe more the wider view of versioning?
There's two things to think on this. There are two interfaces for getting at stuff in Fedora, the data stream disseminations and the what used to be called disseminators, which is the general purpose service method approach. The general purpose service method approach subsumes what the data stream disseminator, what the data stream disseminators can do. So there's no need for that interface. It's kind of an artifact of how Fedora got developed. And it's always going to be confusing to people to have essentially two different interfaces, one with less capable semantics and one with more capable semantics. But if the two of them are going to live, and in fact, there isn't that much time for us to rewrite stuff, then specializing the data stream dissemination mechanism towards structural semantics allows you to pretty much do what's being done right now. So, and I think, in terms of Fedora, for a long time in the future, the idea of having some sort of container for a stream, which is the data stream, it's going to be around in the information model, probably forever. So if the what's available through the data stream interface is focused on structural stuff, and the stuff through the dissemination interface, which is not finished, is where people try to go for the durable access mediation type of thing, that might work out. I'm concerned about trying to continue to push things which are mediated into data stream disseminator, just because a lot of people are focused on that interface because it's pretty fleshed out. Does that make sense to anybody?
Well, I mean, I sort of attached to a couple threads during that, and I guess the last one, you know, I'm thinking that there are, you know, as we start to think of data streams as, you know, regardless of whether you could make statements about them before or not, as we start to think of them as entities that can have things said about them, it, and I think this was reflected in the discussion on the mailing list too, was you start to wonder what's the difference between a data stream and a Fedora object. And right now, the difference is data streams don't get to have disseminators on them. In other words, they're essentially wrappers for streams. And one thing that Rails Int is changing is the fact that you can actually refer to them, which is a good thing. But it's not, in Fedora I would consider the first class entity to be the Fedora digital object as it exists. Does this change data streams into first class objects? I don't think so. I mean, just by giving them identity, well, then there's the question of, I mean, using data streams, multiple data streams in a digital object, does that make sense? I mean, people have tended to gravitate toward the atomistic approach where you have a single data stream in an object, or a single source data stream, or but you also have these other interesting data streams around it for describing that thing in maybe different ways than RDF allows you to. I mean, for whatever reason, you've got mark XML you want to throw in there because you know it's associated, and you need to retain that for whatever reason. So it still seems necessary to have the notion of the container digital object. And right now the manifestation of that in Fedora is the Foxmul. But as we talk about modeling this stuff in, you know, moving maybe towards a more RDF-centric approach, I think some of those relationships that de facto exist in the digital object need to be defined in a way that would be amenable to describing them in RDF. So the fact that an object contains data streams, contains versions, those would, you know, modeling those in RDF could actually allow you to have the same structure described maybe in a different way that doesn't depend on Fedora objects necessarily. So I'm kind of rambling. I realize that. I'll stop. but this and, I mean, I'll, the other threads of the discussion on the mailing list, I think, are really good for us to keep exploring. But then, I'm also interested in keeping the pace going with development and realizing that Rails Int is something that folks have been clamoring for some time. So I'm inclined at this point to go ahead and have Steve commit the Rails Int work, and I think on the number four suggestion you had, Dan, I think that needs a little more teasing out, but it seems like we're comfortable with the notion that info fedora / PID / data stream ID is a valid URI with which to refer to a data stream. That being the case, the Rails Int stuff is ready to go.
Anybody else still there?
Yes, this is Aaron. Yeah. So I'm here and just thinking about that, and so I'm assuming then that if this is put into trunk, then it will appear in the 3.3 release whenever that comes out, correct?
Yeah, the next feature release.
Or however, either major release or, not just a patch release. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking, if we do eventually, find a need to refine this or do anything that, are we kind of in general, do you see us using the version of the Fedora software as determining, what is primarily indexed in the RailsX or what have you? Or can you see at some point, using the, because right now all Fedora objects are in the, Fedora 3.0 model or something like that. You're using something like that to sort of represent how they're indexed, or is that just an artifact of the version of Fedora that's producing these triples and indexing them?
Well, I could certainly see that being a facet of the content model you chose, as I think Steve alluded to. I mean, that was another interesting thread of the discussion. The other thing that relates to this is the thing we have outstanding with being able to choose at a repository-wide level what's indexed, and I mean maybe even getting down to individual statements or predicates or namespaces or potentially other data streams too.
So then with this particular set of changes, then do we see adding an incremented Fedora object object model beyond the Fedora object 3.0 that indicates the possible presence of Rails Int and kind of implies that if there isn't a Rails Int, it would be indexed and what have you.
I could see that maybe if people wanted it being a feature or an add-on to this, but I wouldn't see it as a prerequisite for doing a release with this included. As it stands today, the convenient thing about the system content models is the fact that they only make statements about things that have to exist, and RHEL's int is optional and probably always will be. So, I mean, given the old DS composite model thing, given that that's what's bundled with Fedora, that doesn't change, or this doesn't put a requirement on us to go and change the value of those in the current language. But if we were to, for example, extend on that, or maybe start to formally adopt some of the work that Asghar has been doing, maybe then it would, you know, because in a richer language you can then make statements about what's optional, or the min value is zero, you know.
So then I guess since there's really, you know, this really wouldn't imply any changes to the current model definitions, then we just keep the existing model unchanged.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, but documenting some of these definitions, I think, is going to be needed.
Yeah. And there's also in the branch, there's a demo object that does use this. So there's some example of the one way you can use RHEL's int. But the fact is, it does become one of the system recognized data streams, in that Fedora will treat it differently from just a random data stream. And yeah, that definitely needs to be documented. But in the formal description of DS composite model as it exists today, there's no requirement that it's put in there. All right, any last words on RHEL's int for the time being? I know we'll probably carry this on the list, but... All right, so let's just cover the last piece of this now then. Just reviewing the newly submitted issues. Paste the URL again. And things that are new. So starting with FC Repo 5.11, Karsten Friedrich has reported that the JSP for the unavailable error page doesn't include some import statements. Looks pretty obvious that they need to be there. So I just want to quickly check. I'll check that offline, but I'm going to go ahead and open it now. I'm pretty sure he's totally right, but I'll double check offline. The next one is Matt Cordial reports that extra quotes were added to literal RHEL's ext values in the old admin GUI. So he's attached a screenshot there. And this appears to be a bug in the old admin GUI, which maybe depending on when we do the release that includes the updated GUI, this may or may not be that important to fix. It's possible right now to make these changes in the new admin GUI. But it's not possible to look at previous versions of the RDF. But I think we pretty much reached a state where we said, if you can do it in the new web admin, that we're not going to be editing the old admin. So we'll see if Matt responds, but this will send him a trigger when I go ahead and mark this as closed won't fix and recommend that for these kinds of edits to use the new web admin. I think that's fair. The last one is FC Repo 5.13, and this was one that I added, which is Fedora DuraCloud plugin. So this is just something that when the DuraCloud service is ready, we want to have the ability for Fedora to persist its content to the DuraCloud service. So, you know, in the spirit of being able to persist to whatever service people are using out there, this one seems pretty reasonable. I don't know when it will be realistic for that to occur, but I made a stab at it and thinking Fedora 3.3, it might go in. It might turn out that Fedora 3.3 is released a little bit before DuraCloud is ready, or a little bit after. But this is just an additional plugin. So this work might actually come from the DuraCloud team too. But we'll see. So I went ahead and clicked open on that one. All right, that exhausts our issues on the tracker that have been newly submitted. Are there any other items folks wanted to bring up in this call? All right. Well, thanks, everybody.